Se foi a comitê em polícia, eu vejo o que é que se foi a comitê. E aí, just want to convince our revolutionary to the Namibian delegation as we here with us today. And we extend our greetings to all the people of Namibia. It is our pleasure and honor that you are here. To visit our country for the first time, but also that you have chosen to visit our parliament in general, but that you also wanted to meet the portfolio committee on police is indeed humbling. We do hope that our interaction with you will be enriching to us and as well as to yourself. Just want to say that we are South Africans, I know you are Namibian. But what we meant is that we are all Africans. We will be introducing ourselves one by one. I think I've started with myself. We will introduce you as members of the portfolio committee. I will just brief you on how the portfolio committee is structured. Then, of course, we'll give you the opportunity to ask questions on what you want to know from us. Then, we'll be home. And we ask those questions. That is the question number 7.
I'm Lily Taylor from the Western Coast, and I'm from the Western Coast.
And I'm Diane Kodibana. I'm from Kodibana in the South, and I'm from the Western Coast.
I'm a mission from Hansi.
I'm a mission vice, and I'm also a committee from the Western Coast.
Good morning, Greg Schneeman from Karteng.
Good morning, I'm Angie Mugabasi, also from Gauteng, a member of this committee.
Morning, my name is Mbisi, I'm the researcher to the committee.
Morning, my name is Wu, I'm from PNG.
Good morning, I'm Kaura from Namibia, member of the Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defense and Security.
Good morning, I'm Peyama Shirenga, MP from Namibia.
Good morning, I'm Lucia Basson, I'm the chairperson of the Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defense and Security. And next to me is also a chairperson of another committee, is the chairperson of the Middle Economic and Research and Public Administration. And then our delegation, according to the Nuclear Parliament, we are compiled from the Royal Parliament and the Association. The two of us from the Royal Parliament, and the other is from the opposition party, the DJ, the media, and the power cut.
My name is Lisa Gaura, I'm from the International Commission.
Before you come in with this very quickly explain to you that because of the size of the population, so maybe you're almost 2 million, and then that's why we have got maybe 14 to 15 million in the community. We only put 6 million that are regular attendees. So then I'm also in this committee as a chairperson, I'm also a member of the committee. You know, there are people, there are 20 people that we also have 4 or 5. It's based on yourself, so there's no restriction, except maybe from smaller parties that they know how to fit in. Now, and the other thing is, as we here, we combine the committees. Foreign affairs, we have oversight for foreign affairs, defense, the security, the police, and the rest of it, intelligence is also under our responsibility. So then you get another committee with 3 or 4 responsibilities. It's because of the size of the parliament. We are only 78 and
expected less than the expected in the middle. So that's why you see that we are few people, but we are divided out of here in the communities and trying to cover all the things. So that's why we are here. And we talk about police, we have opened up all the police, and then what to defend, for the sake. If another community is coming in, they will meet us to send us in again. Okay.
No. No, thank you very much for the information. I think in the meeting, we will give you the opportunity to ask questions from us so that they don't like what we want. But what we did in preparation for the situation, we combined two items that I think they've been important to you. The register to that the committee is called the Portfolio Committee on Police, which is established according in terms of the constitution of the country. And it is composed of members of parliament, acting from the workshop. So we have members from the Northern Strategic Committee, there are nine. Then we have two members from the Democratic Alliance. One member from the APPT opposition, one member from the anti-IFP, and one member from the COP. And our power is derived from the COP, from the constitution, the power of parliament, and therefore the assessment of the policy is derived from the constitution. And therefore, I'm speaking in this and in the main, our responsibility is to convey that part to amend and to reject any legislation that is before us and that is brought before us, or to initiate or prepare any legislation. So we have the right as a committee to initiate any legislation or prepare any legislation. But we also, in the main, we hold the executive together with the administration accountable. We exercise our oversight over the Department of Police and its entities, and may require every person according to the Constitution to come before the police to give the portfolio committee to account for the answer. So our functions are derived from those powers which are derived from the Constitution. So the entities and the departments that we deal with, they include the Department of Police, which of course is due to that. We also have the Civilian Secretary for Police, which is under the direction of the Ministry of Police. Then we also have the Independent Complaint Directorate, which provides for the independent oversight, in fact, oversight mechanism of complaints against the police as well as it provides for makeup connected vehicles. So if there is brutality that is reported about police, any person who died in custody on police staff, then the Independent Complaints Directorate is responsible to investigate such cases. And then, of course, one other entity would be the Department of the Private Sector Industrial Regulatory Regulating Authority, we refer to as CIRA. We also deal with other entities outside the department, like the civil society organization, the union that are even staff, institutions of higher learning, community-based organizations, private security that we sell, metropolis, NGO, all these we deal with them. How the committee is established, following the election and serving of members, parties deploy or parties they deploy members to the committee. Like I've indicated, you have ANC, opposition, and so on, so they do that. And then, of course, the parliament also delegates a secretary to the committee, the researcher, and any other support staff member. And, of course, in the first meeting, the secretary of the committee convenes the meeting for any other person is elected. After that, the committee may do any matter before it. But also to plan a session where it will strategize for the government, because our parliament takes 5 years. And then from the strategic plan that will come out of that session, then we're going to if they don't allow my main operation again, which we resume every year. The mechanism for oversight, something, we use committee meetings, for instance, like we are here today, but also situation in house that is in general. We also have question times where we send written questions or forum questions to the ministry and they respond in the house. Committee hearings, we can invite any member of public civil society to come before the committee. We annual budget processes, which is not executive proposals and policies. We specialize the department. We also do what is called oversight review before we go to any problems and go to any conversation. We used to, such as our annual report, such as the plan, estimated national expenditure, a general report, twice verified any legislation that is there, a constitution of the country, committee report, state of the nation address, national budget speech, monetary report. Probably, I don't think I will cover what we have done so far. From the time from April that is after the election up to paper. But where we are right now, we are processing a bill which is called Safety at Sports and Recreational Events. And because it's safety and sports and recreational events, it therefore affects two committees. So the two committees are sitting together to process that bill. At this moment, we are done with the parliament, we then be going to provinces because over and above, I see it affects municipalities and somehow provinces, and that is why we have to go to provinces and conduct public hearings today. And then I think that's what I just want to say. In the main, in South Africa, we have two events we have to come across. That is what we have to ensure for the society is that crime is reduced, that crime is prevented. And this is how what we think the government should do in whatever program that it has. Those programs must work towards ensuring that crime is prevented and crime is reduced, that we can continue this. And with a 2010 FIFA World Cup coming and the portfolio committee, we will indeed focus on ensuring that the role of our police is watertight and that it is sustainable throughout the event but also beyond the event. This is in the main what we are doing. This is the summary of it. We will definitely give you this copy. I think for now I will ask you to ask questions and as members will respond to your questions. Thank you very much.
Yes, I want to ask you. She
doesn't know yourself. You're going to initiate bill. Do you have enough resources for doing that? For example, as a legal chapter,
mm-hmm.
where do you get them to put your bills into a legal language? Secondly, do you have consultation with 9 ministers before you table your bills? Because if not, suppose perhaps a 9 minister was also intending to table the bill on a similar
subject.
I just wanted to find out whether your committee can subpoena a minister to come and testify before you.
I mean, the work of citizens is with the South African, but the South African, I think they are involved all across. In terms of the security and safety of our, of those who are coming to the South African, And we make also any project, I mean, teams only to work together or the other people can help us to be involved with the other people in terms of because they're saving their people from orphans, you know, people who are being stolen, or other that they can eat the property of their own.
Okay, I will first give members an opportunity to put any questions on this.
I thought this might be of interest. I'm with the Democratic Alliance, so we're the official opposition and the opposition party. And just from the legislation perspective, what we have an opportunity to do is put together private members' legislation, which is then run past a specific committee and discussed. And certainly we do have access to. Once the bill is actually further down the line, then the legal drafts come in and put it into correct terminology, layout, structure, etc., as determined by the law. But from the opposition side, certainly, we may put forward private members legislation for consideration. I can't even decide private member any legislation has actually gone into law, but I'm sure it will happen under the new administration. There is a way to pull legislation through from different sides for consideration, especially in this portfolio where crime is hitting everyone indiscriminately. I'm sure you're aware crime is a top priority. So this is something that we're all focused on. It's irrelevant what party one belongs to or what colour you are or anything else. You're going to be a victim of crime at some stage. So we
certainly can get
our particular input in.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Just to indicate, I am a member of the African National Congress, which is obviously the ruling party in South Africa. Just as an addition, yes, there is an avenue for individual members of parliament to submit what we call private member legislation. But there is also an opportunity for committees, if they so wish and deem it necessary, to submit committee legislation. And we are only aware, I think, of one instance where, if that's the case, there may have been one or two others, but recently we had, in fact, in the last parliament, we had a committee that drafted a piece of legislation, was actually an amendment to an existing piece of legislation. So a committee, if it wants to, could put forward its own legislation as well. And in that instance, there is backup and support from Parliament in terms of legal advisers, drafters, etc. So I thought I should just add that as well. Although it's not an avenue that's normally used. But we had it in the last Parliament, so it was under exceptional circumstances, and the committee felt that it wanted to put forward its own piece of legislation.
Yeah, just on the cooperation in terms of the fellow countries for the 2010, I'm also a member of the ANC, is that there are discussions at the executive level on these issues. So there are also committees that I know that have been set up at border posts between countries. So I don't think, I think our approach is also that it can never be a South African event on its own. I mean, people are going to come through borders surrounding our border to get to South Africa if you want the chocolate or stuff. And they are definitely initiatives at that level to cooperate, to have the same sort of systems in place, and to facilitate the movement of people during that period of time as well, and to look at the security of people.
Another question.
I think part of the
question
also was whether there is consultation with the ministry. And there's definitely one. Mm-hmm. And the issue of resources is not a problem because the parliament is a big advantage. So, as a private member, I can sustain something, but the legal term is the legal department and staff of the parliament that I'm making sure that.
Thank you.
Any
My other question is, it is one thing to have a constitutional provision. It is another thing to have a practical experience. So what I would want to know is whether you have been receiving cooperation from the executive in your oversight function. For example, there are reports that the executive will say are confidential reports. And they have always been arguing that how confidential is confidential. Is confidential to the public? Is confidential to Parliament? So those are issues that I want to know.
My other question is, how far are you involved in the budget, the police? Yes, then in the budget, can you make some changes or make recommendations or whatever?
This is not the executive question of the executive. In general, we have good relationships with the executive in terms of participation. One can always argue that you want more, and I think from an opposition point of view, you will always want more. I mean, not speaking on behalf of the opposition. But the fact of the matter is that the committees in Parliament have the right to summon somebody to committee hearings. So if they really don't want to appear, you can summon them to appear. It's never been necessary to do that. But I think also that is what is important is to, when we do have, we obviously sometimes you do have, I think especially committees like these and the ones that you represent, you have issues that you don't want to be discussed in the open. And for instance, the gentleman there that introduced himself as from TNT is a parliamentary monitoring group that's a civilian entity that monitors what Parliament does. But what I'm saying to you is attending this meeting. So it's an open meeting, and all our meetings are open for the media, for members of the public, TNT, etc. So they can all come to these meetings. But when there are an instance or information of such a nature that the executive would ask you, please, we don't want to discuss this in open, the committee will then agree on a closed meeting. And that meeting will then be closed to the media, will be closed to members of the public, and the information will then be devolved to the members alone. And obviously members are sensitive enough to realize that those kinds of information cannot go outside of the committee.
I'm a new member of Parliament, just recently in the election. I can't comment on what happened in the last Parliament, but I think before in opposition party, we've had a lot of problems with trying to get information from some ministers. And I also think that it's too early for us to really tell yet with the new Parliament whether we're going to get more cooperation. The indications are there that we may well get more cooperation, and you know, we had some good interactions with opposition and analysts with the election. So I think we need to just really, really quite to stay at this point as opposition party, whether that's going to be better. It seems like it might be better than the last. One problem we are having an oversight is that we are allowed to ask questions every week. Every MP is allowed to ask questions, three questions every week to any minister. And one of the problems we have had a little bit is that they don't always want to ask a question, they don't just want to get information. Sometimes they may have valid reasons in the sense of it's going to take a lot of time to get that information. But you also do find that sometimes they're too willing to excuse my students. So that's one. But yeah, it is a new part of it, so I don't think we need to judge the people.
The question is presented orally or in writing?
In writing, yeah. So every week, every MP can ask these questions in writing of any minister. And then we also have an opportunity every month or 2 months or 3 months for each cluster of committees has a chance to ask our questions in writing. And then that's only one term in. But they don't often get through, you know, you only get through a certain amount because you don't have a limited time allowed for them. So we don't get to, if your question doesn't get in the hour or whatever, then it doesn't, then they put it on to the written script.
Chair, there was a question on the influencing of the budget. Up until this Parliament, we've had a committee in Parliament called the Joint Budget Committee, which is made up of members of both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. And that influence the budget through reports that they make and through budget hearings. Because in South Africa we work on a 3-year budget cycle. One of the weaknesses has been that many committees have not taken advantage of it to actually raise what are the critical challenges over the medium term. So, for instance, this year our budget was presented in February. The committees haven't an opportunity under the previous system in the last parliament to then influence the outer years of the budget, the second and third years. And that process was also strengthened when we put in place the Joint Budget Committee back in 2002, which actually holds hearings with departments, interacts with committees, and makes recommendations. And we started to see, through the Joint Budget Committee, we did start to see some move towards influence in the way in which budget allocations were made. However, our Parliament has not had the opportunity actually amend the budget, or actually to say no, we want this amount taken from this program and this program. However, in the last parliament, legislation was passed, which allows for certain adjustments to be made to the budget. In this particular parliament now, we have a committee called the Committee on Appropriations, and that's going to be the committee that will be interacting and liaising with committees of parliament, as well as the budget, and will have certain powers in which to make recommendations of the shifting of amounts between programs, etc. And they're in the process of setting that up. So there will be an opportunity for committees to start to have a far greater say in how the budget is put together, but not to try to shift the amounts from one department to the other. There will be powers, I think it will eventually happen, that you can shift amounts within a vote. And there'll be a certain amount that can be shifted as well, and certain conditions that have to be applied.
Thank you very much.
My other question is, what restrictions are there for members of committees that they may not use information they benefit from the committee to advance their own debates before they are made public by the committee? For example, in our system, you find, for example, a committee like this goes around visit police stations. They find perhaps that there's a need to improve either police accommodation or just the general working conditions. You will find out that some members that may be in this delegation will try to ask the parliament to introduce a motion, for example, calling for the movement now. In our rules, we restrict such type of behavior because a member should wait for the committee to table a report. As long as he or she was part and parcel of that delegation, he or she should not use that information from a committee to come and advance his or her own debate in the House before the committee officially table the report. So there are rules that members may not table issues that may be anticipated to be coming to the House. Where I live, there are similar experiences here of members trying to do this.
Chair, I think we have a very open system. Certainly, if we go to the committee and we go on an oversight service, we will inevitably put out a joint statement of whatever. But the our MPs are expected to be very proactive and to go and do work as a member of the committee, but on your own as a member of your party, and go and do oversight at police stations. And if you find huge problems in police stations, you do it on your own and you do your own press statements. But it doesn't involve the committee. It involves you as a member of parliament. But certainly, if you're going as a delegation on a trip to Namibia, to somewhere else, or to a section of the country where there's a problem, or on an unannounced visit, I think the committee more or less comes to the conclusion that announced visits are a waste of time. Unannounced visits to then we would work as a committee. There's a very interesting blurring of lines where you have a situation where the committee will work together. In the House, you are definitely on the other side of the floor. So we actually work extremely well as a committee together and tackle problems as a whole. But that never, and there's no regulations or rules or any aim in this country to try and shut up members of the opposition and try and get them to toe the line and say, well, actually, we disagree with the current governing party, which I don't think ever happens. No, some of them would love that. Not in my lifetime.
I think we can live there for a moment.
Yeah, well, what's the question? In that room, this is not what I want to say. That the question was whether there is either who. The simple answer is that there is no such a rule. It is just a decision of the committee and an agreement with that committee. When you go out as a team, you need to have a report representing the views of the team. But there is no rule that prohibits somebody in the committee.
Mine is about
the
our committee has been responsible for security, defense and security. We have also by the police and the military. Now, I ask for this, I know, because in your thing, your case, it's true to the community. But how are you working together? If you talk about the security, you know, perhaps we are not excluded the police, or if we discuss, then it's one, so the same people, because it's for the same thing. The security or crime or whatever, to protect the country. So we have two different communities, but how are you working together as a community, two different portfolios?
Okay, thank you. Yes, we have very definite sector committees for defense, police, intelligence, across the entire, what we say is the security council, which now has two divisions, I believe. What are the other two that are being added? Home Affairs and into that cluster. Now, certainly, defence in South Africa is considered to be very much to protect the country from external forces. Only as an absolute last resort would we ever call in members of the defence force to give relief in the country. We believe it gives the country, we don't want the country to have that militaristic look by anyone from overseas, you know, it's not a military regime. However, we did last year, I think, when there was a strike after medical and hospitals, we called in some of the military medical personnel to relieve some of the hospitals. But I think that was such a rare occasion. And there is otherwise virtually no crossover. There may be some working together, for example, on the border situation, which is going to come up now, where there's been a move to move an attempt to take the protection of the borders away from the defense forces and give it to the staff, and it's been a disaster. I think there are moves now to hand it back to the defense force and free up the staff members to come back into the protection of the civilians within the borders. So that's very, very separate.
It's secret, but there's a separation. Just to say, I'm a state and personal services, I've always been part of the structure. I haven't been outside the structure. There was a name change in Central International.
No,
I just think it's a name change in Central International, the foreign affairs just became something else. The ministers, for instance, they're negative. Meet as clusters. That's what joint meetings. As the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Minister of Police, Minister of Defence, they would meet as a cluster to discuss issues of common concern. And specifically in the ruling party, we definitely also work accordingly in our study groups, where we would have meetings of the cluster study groups where all the members in that cluster will get together under the chairmanship of the cluster, and we will discuss the issues that cut across lines. And my understanding is that we're going to move even in Parliament a bit closer to that point where you would even have the cluster committees getting together and have meetings together to discuss issues of common interest. Our defence is mainly responsible, if you look at our defence committee at this stage, for peacekeeping operations. I mean, we're playing a huge part, as I think you guys know as well, in peacekeeping operations in Africa. But also, the defence is also going to define responsibility in terms of disaster, when disaster management, and that's also why we can call on them when the strikeout is there. Is that they then get involved in terms of disaster management. They would get involved flooding, distributing food, getting to people that because they've got the equipment to assist in that. But there's definitely a move to work much closer. You would also get that cabinet meets every second week, and the week in between the cluster ministers would meet, so that they make sure that they have that. There definitely was a parliamentary involvement as well. The Committee of Defence was involved in the discussions around it. They're not the ones that okayed in the end, I mean, it's an executive decision, but they were part of the process of the discussions, etc. So there was some involvement.
Whatever we are observing there, we come back, you know, and then we call in the concerned minister and show them that what we see here is first one in terms of activity, in terms of parliament. And then it's better for us when we just report to the parliament and then when we go into debate. And in that process, you know, they make some changes to what they have seen on the part of something. So our oversight is we have to change the whole information, we have to defend, we have to, you know, we can even call any minister, the minister of the PS, and then ask them whatever we want. So we are also asking more money for police and for that defense. And what the current budget, police have got more money and also buy some new car. This is our commitment. Last year we are asking for the defense. You know. So we are afraid that whenever you are not getting enough money for the police officers, the military, and then these people, you know, they run into the private security company. So it's also for the government that to get the pay the people so they can stay in the force. So as the members of this committee, we are coming around, you know, and talk to the people, not just to them, talk to them. We are coming to them, we speak with that. We are asking them, what are your problems? And they told us the problems, and they take it up off the content ministry. So there's no order, you know, just to say, like, no, don't go there. And the same was for the people. We are going out of the country, visiting our mission. Whatever we are seeing, they will come here, report it, etc. We want them to change. That is more than our oversight of the people in Malaysia, in terms of the communities.
What
if
they
can
do you alone in sitting all those communities? Or
within your meeting, it's a class. Yeah, we are, no, it's only one committee of all these three in one. So our oversight is this. When we have oversight over security, or defense, the police, home affairs, this is just that. That's a little bit of the prison, the order committee, all those acts, the prison is under our.
Yes, I think we must just make it clear, even though we are separate committees, they are cooperating between the committees. Because, for instance, last year a visit was, I can think about two incidents last year where the class committees worked together. One was in the Criminal Justice Review Public Hearings, where all these committees in these classes went out to the whole of the country to have public hearings on the review of the Criminal Justice System. The second one was also, interestingly enough, border issues, where the departments involved at the border, the committees of those departments jointly went to those border areas, jointly came up with a report and jointly debated in the House as well. So, you know, where the need arises, we actually do that, do cooperate. And we also find that the committees will alert one another about issues that they are picking up that is affecting me, either through a formal correspondence from the committee to the other committee, or by the chairpersons raising it with each other, but there's good sort of cooperation. I think we've got the advantage of having small members,
exactly. So
that it can actually specialize.
Better manpower,
yeah.
And you can swing around.
We have 400 members of parliament from the aspect of the minister of education and stuff like that, but we still remain in the head. That can then make all the portfolio committees that I'm saying, almost all committees take that much of 40 members. You must prevent that 40 members for the system. Could be like maybe from the opposition, I think one will be in three committees that will be so possible to be in this committee and focus the way to that relevant in the department.
No, we are in a very difficult situation because the executive is larger in our parliament compared to the backbenchers. And our members of the executive cannot be members of the committees. So we are forced to, you know, combine so many, you know, portfolios into one committee, responsibilities into one committee, for example.
Can you explain a little bit more? Are you saying the executive is bigger than
it? Yes, exactly. We have a problem in Namibia. Our separation of powers is such that
we have a dominance of the executive in our Namibian parliament. For example, we have 45 executive members, ministers and deputies, compared to, and we are only 72, with the exception of the six that are appointed by the president that is left voting power in parliament. So as such, the executive is larger in our Namibian parliament, and they don't participate in committees. So the onus falls on the backbenchers to participate in the various committees. And so there's a lack of manpower, and that's why, for example, we are responsible for foreign affairs, defense, and security.
Accountability must be a challenge. Accountability of the executive.
Unfortunately, we tried, at the beginning, to try and say that, especially the opposition, that the failure is too large. it continues.
Yeah. When we had a meeting here with Mr. Patel, he was serving us that members can serve in more than one committee that not chairman.
If you are to stay, for instance, convince that it is genuine, so for instance, based on what that institute is performing, so there is a lot of work. But it's also possible that you can have people who are coming to meet the chairperson yourself. You can say, we want to meet the chairperson as a portfolio committee. So for people who want to interact with the committee, for instance, they will go to the committee through the chairperson, so they make appointments, they come, they want to work in the committee, civil society, NGOs, and so on. So it's a lot of work that you do. But also, just like you will be leading the committee to ensure that the committee works, you have got to do a lot of political management work. There's a lot of some management that takes place behind the scenes before the committee is confirmed. Like I'm just taking setting an example. The meeting fees come to meetings, but there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes in preparation for the sitting of the committee. So you can't see in many committees, and that of course before someone. As a matter of fact, initially I was deployed to one committee, standing committee on intelligence, on defense, but the country was because it doesn't fit. What makes it possible for members then to belong to a number of committees, probably from the ruling party, for instance, that our committee meeting days are not the same. For a particular cluster, they sit on the stage, then another cluster. So it's possible to be a member in this cluster because the meeting, for instance, is sit on Tuesday. But you can't be a member to another committee that is in another cluster because the meeting sits on Wednesday. And probably another cluster is going to sit on Friday. So you can actually sit in all the meetings. But for opposition parties who probably have fewer members in parliament, sometimes it becomes a nightmare to find that meeting fit at the same time. Then they will choose. So that is in the parliament, they will always choose for these things. Because I don't know what to do. So that will call up and say that it is a priority, not only to the ruling party, but to all of us. The issue of crime affects everybody. And therefore, everybody will want to see crime premature. So, and I think, as members indicated, in the committee, we work as a unit, even when we interrogate the people's administration, we ask questions, all of us, as a committee, for the committee to introduce. And I think in committees, that's where extra work. Then when we go to the house with the base, then we speak, you know, but that is where the work is. That is where the cooperation takes place for one of us.
I will be honest, in terms of climate environmental, I need to write so many studies, and I'm so afraid because of the World Cup having to do that. can you maybe explain to us, you know, how is the climate situation in South Africa in comparison with what it's been maybe experienced here? In terms of, I'm just concerned, I'm concerned about this is the World Cup coming to South Africa. Is this very difficult?
I think that we hope that many international events successfully reach. Just a few months ago, we hope that Confederation Cup, and I think it was a huge success. When the president of FIFA came and was addressing media, one of the issues before the start of the Confederation Cup, one of the issues they were talking about the issue of crime. But in his closing address, it was the issue of crime, it was accommodation, hospitality, it seems, and so forth, and not crime. So I think I just want to assure you that in fact, the Rugby World Cup, was mistaken in the cricket, in the Cricket World Cup, we have done that in the past. We've hosted the ITU Interparliamentary Union Day in Cape Town successfully. So I think when an event such as this one comes to South Africa, we deploy enough security to ensure that our visitors are not harmed. Nevertheless, crime is crime. I just want to insist that in this way we do have a problem with crime. But for instance, you will have some decrease in this type of crime, but maybe have some increase in our crime. So that what actually happens is that the crime will shift. If it is the decreasing murder and rape, probably, then you might find that there is increase in robbery. And probably in the rural areas, because if there is enough security in the city, then the criminals will move to where there isn't enough security. That's coming to say. But I think we are controlled. We have enough power, we have enough resources. In fact, we can be together with our communities, because I think that's what we need to do now, to involve communities. In terms of our staff, we have increased that from very low numbers. We are now at 180 something and moving towards 200,000 plus of staff in the country. We also have these private security companies, of course, that are providing some assistance here and there. We have Metro Police and so on. I think what now we need is that participation from our community, because that is the crime situation. And it is people that you know that are committing crime. Probably to indicate the fact that in South Africa, people that are committing crime in the main are known to victims. To be an answer, it could be this and somebody, and therefore, because I know you, then you can kill me. Because if you don't kill me, then I will identify. So it could be that thing, making it a little bit difficult for the police to be in the house and to be anything. But so what you can see, we live in South Africa, we walk around in South Africa, it's very big. But any crime committed is one to me. And that is why we only say crime must be individual. I don't know, I think we have responded to many of our questions, and I really think that we thank you for meeting with us. It's so important. I think it's really most worth closing. We request our members to in 2 years for us, and then we want to put on it.
Yeah, Chairperson and your team. Yeah, thank you very much for taking your time. We know that when Parliament is in session, that it is not always easy to find time like this one, because that means that you are done and expense your real committee work, other or other ways related to your committee. For that, we would want to attend you sincerely. We think that through this interaction, we have gained some information that will be useful to our parliament as we go and execute our program. While your parliament, what parliament? Young compared to our fourth parliament, which is a relatively old, who said it's starting to end March next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Certainly, on behalf of the portfolio committee, we'd like to thank you for having one request to meet us. We haven't learned that much from you. I think you've learned more from us on. But I think it's important that we do meet. But maybe it's also important that we also need to look at how do we meet in forums outside of such a nation like this. Because I think that certainly with the status, we are neighboring countries. And certainly is probably a need for far greater interaction between committees of this nature. To share experiences, to understand what's happening in our respective countries, and to understand, and certainly in our case as a Committee on Police, to understand how our police forces are cooperating with each other and working together. So whilst it's obviously a pleasure for us to interact with you, to be able to share some of our experiences, I think certainly going forward we would have to look at how do we work closer together in sharing in areas of mutual concern. But we'd like to say thank you very much. It's been great to meet with you. We want to wish you well on the rest of your visit to our country. And we hope that your deliberations are fruitful and that you'll be able to take experience you've learned here back to your own country as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. So this is the Listening Center.